Welcome to Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You know what I'm saying? I think you do.
Here's Cole Thompson.
Hey, cuss, no matter what time zone you're in, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Welcome into Just Saying It right here on the Sports Map Radio Network. Cole Thompson back in the driver's seat, getting you caught up on everything you might have missed. Headed into Tuesday's action, 800-224-2004. Call in the show. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you hate. Let's be real. You love everything about this show. We know you love everything about this show. And we want to hear from you, the listeners. So make sure you call in. Again, that number, 800-224-2004. At Mr. Cole Thompson on Twitter. At Sports Map Radio. The wonderful, delightful Michael Hernandez on the other side of the glass. Producing, as always, fun 3 hours. Just going to fly on by, as they always seem to do. Let's go ahead and talk about what we saw on Monday Night Football. Really, let's talk about the ending of Monday Night Football, because I think it's very telling of what the whole problem with the Jeff Saturday situation was. You saw it unfold very much live in front of you. I want to talk about the Jet situation. I know most people in the world are riding high with Mike White. Now, I have nothing against Mike White. Am I ready to call him a franchise quarterback? Let's go ahead and talk about that. Plus, Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers. Which way you lean? Which way you feeling? Do you have a certain opinion of this team moving forward? Do you have a certain facet of where this team is headed moving forward? And of course, it is Tuesday, Trivia Tuesday, coming up in about 35 minutes. Not going to want to miss. But I start the hour off today with this. I have never seen more people pretend to know things about soccer than ever before, because I'm sitting there yesterday and I'm listening on some conversations, and everyone seems to have an opinion on the most random games, I also might add, Michael, which is like probably the weird part. I understand you want to show...
This is every 4 years.
Yeah, I understand you want to show your patriotism. I have no problem if you want to talk about the United States playing against Iran today. And I understand all of those things. I don't really care about your opinion on what you think of what went wrong in a 3-3 tie of Cameroon versus Serbia. I guarantee you, you have no idea. You can't name five players from either team. I cannot believe that you want me to listen to your opinion on how Portugal beat up on Uruguay and why it was a 2-0 finish. Like, I don't care about that. The fact that most people I know can say mil instead of zero shows that, okay, you get the basic concepts of the game. But don't try to explain little formations to me. It doesn't work. You know it doesn't.
You're listening to Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Cole Thompson.
Gotta be feeling good about what Mike White's done today. On third and four, he'll look to throw. End zone, Moore! Touchdown, Jets! Mike White, how about him?
He did a great job. He didn't need to be anybody but Mike White. We didn't need to turn into the greatest show on turf. We just needed, we just wanted him to play within himself and play efficient. I thought he did that, especially in the elements. It was, like I said, he made the easy look easy, and that's, I thought he did a really good job with that.
Mike White, franchise caliber quarterback for the New York Jets, right? 800-224-2004. Calling the show. It is Cole Thompson, but just saying it right here on the Sports Map Radio Network. I find it funny. I find it very funny how many national pundits, how many people out there are more than happy to run with the story the second that they realize what a headline it's going to be. Headline writing, headline broadcasting, headlines, biggest selling point in this industry. I'm not a headline guy. I like to go ahead and do the facts. I like to go ahead and go in depth. I like to go ahead and actually tell you what I think. And you want to know why I do that? What's the name of the show? Just Saying It. Because I'm just saying it. Mike White's a great story. In fact, I actually can remember Mike White when he was at Western Kentucky University. I remember him so much because if he went and he played at the Senior Bowl, had a good arm, had a lot of good accuracy. Nothing really special, like very much just like a clean-cut, all-American-type passer, moving the sticks, trying to keep first downs alive, all the things that you're looking for in a quality back. backup. That's exactly what Mike White brought to the table. And he was drafted, I think, by Dallas 175th overall back in 2018. Doesn't work out. Goes to the Jets. Works his way from the practice squad up to the active roster. Last season, gets some reps. And here we are once again talking about Mike White. Number five, being a fifth-round pick, actually being a franchise quarterback. I have no problem with saying that Mike White is a better quarterback or does more right now for New York than Zach Wilson. Again, I will be probably the one person out there who is celebrating Mike White playing well, because what it does is it bona fides me being right about Zach Wilson. Made a lot of good throws in college, could do all the platform things coming off of, you know, coming out of rollouts, coming out of picks. Especially was really good on the run, his elusiveness behind the, you know, behind the line of scrimmage. All those things were great. Still did not believe in him as a quarterback. Still never thought that he was a franchise caliber guy. And I sure as hell never thought that he was worth the number two overall pick. In fact, I was very much a proponent of go ahead and either risk Trey Lance, go ahead and overdraft Justin Fields. Let's see how they were. And then you find out, well, part of the reason that they drafted Zach Wilson was they thought that he was going to fit in a very similar offense to what Kyle Shanahan wanted to run. It was why a lot of people thought when San Francisco moved up from number 12 to number 3, they were trying to put themselves in a conversation to at least be there for Zach Wilson if number 2 from BYU was to fall to number 3. Ultimately, Jets, who have ties with the San Francisco 49ers, Mike LaFleur, Robert Saleh, they get one spot ahead of him. They go ahead and take him. It's a done deal. The reality is that I think Mike White gives the Jets a best chance to win now. That's a fact. The reality is that Zach Wilson was overdrafted. That's a fact. The reality is, I've seen this story play out before. I'm not going to buy into it just yet. 800-224-2004. It's great that the teammates love seeing Mike White thrive. It's great that coaches seem to have this little bit more pronounced aura about them. It's great to see how many people afterwards were saying how pleased they were with the offense, how morale was at an all-time high, how all the positives were there. Everything that you were looking for in the caliber quarterback situation after a really sluggish couple of weeks. It was great to see all that. 315 yards, 3 touchdown passes. I think he had a completion rating of 78%, 11.3 yards per throw, passer rating of 149. All great. Let's also go ahead and look at the whole story. This is the 20th ranked defense in the NFL, the Chicago Bears. I know the weather conditions were not great, so I'm not going to go ahead and knock them there. They were down 3 defensive starters. You lose Eddie Jackson in the middle of the game to a non-contact injury. So now you're down 4 defensive starters. No Roquan Smith. No Robert Quinn adding pressure. And this is a very decent offensive line. I won't say it's great. I will say it's decent at best. But that's what you have going up against the Chicago Bears team that also did not have Justin Fields standing on the sideline. He was out for this game. So let's go ahead and put bygones be bygones. We've seen this story play out before, and we've seen this story play out before with Mike White. With Mike White, last season against the Cincinnati Bengals, a Cincinnati Bengals team, which I might add, had a very, very, very good offense, was one of the best offenses in the NFL last year. Also, had one of the more lackluster defenses in the NFL last year. Finished ranked 19th total in defense. Also, when you look at the secondary, if I'm not mistaken, it ranked bottom 10? Yeah, I think it was like 26th, 25th in the NFL. He went off on them. He absolutely crushed against them. 82.2 completion rating, 400 passing yards, 3 touchdowns. What did he do against top 10 defenses? Well, we have evidence on that because he went up against 3 top 10 defenses last year. That was the Indianapolis Colts. That was against the Buffalo Bills. And that was against the New England Patriots. Buffalo! 54 completion percentage, 4 interceptions, 251 yards, and 5.7 yards per attempt. Indianapolis, 7 of 11 for 95 yards, 1 touchdown pass, but they end up losing 45-30 trust in the run game. New England, right before facing off against Cincinnati, 20 of 32, 1 touchdown pass, 0 interceptions, a passer rating of 64.8, and 6.3 yards per throw. Doing it against bad defenses is one thing. Doing it against the Bills, doing it against the 49ers, doing it against the Eagles, or even the Broncos, or even the New England Patriots this year. All of that. If I see Mike White do that, and I see him do it consistently, 310 passing yards, 3 touchdown passes, 2 touchdown passes, any of that, I'll start believing that he has something there. All I took away from Mike White's performance yesterday, or on Sunday, was not that he's a franchise caliber quarterback, like every other national pundit in America is coming out here to say, because all they read is the headlines. All they do is they watch that. I went back and I watched the game. I learned more about the fact that Chicago is further away than we actually expected, and part of the reason that we aren't talking about Chicago is we're just so blown away by what number one in their backfield is able to do as a franchise caliber quarterback. Then I learned about Mike White. I learned more about Zach Wilson not being the guy long-term in New York. Because guess what? At this point, I think Zach Wilson maybe has a career in the NFL. I don't think it's in the Big Apple. I don't think that when you look at the way that his teammates talk about Mike White, I don't think when you see the way that coaches were beaming after the game, I don't think the way that you've seen him handle the press. And again, New York, you need to be big, bold, and brash. If you can't live out there, get out while you still can. Get out young and get out fast, because I'm telling you this much. New York media will ruin you when you go anywhere else. If he can't handle that, all right, so be it. I learned more about that than I learned about Mike White. Mike White's a good story. Mike White's awesome. It's great to see players who at one point were an underdog going out there and finally making an impact. It's awesome to see that. But somebody yesterday said he could be like Kirk Cousins, fourth round pick that just pans out and becomes a franchise quarterback. No. Kirk Cousins was able to go ahead and do this against teams, better teams, when he was in Washington. Oh, he can be the next Dak Prescott. No, Dak Prescott won Offensive Rookie of the Year. Dak Prescott is playing efficient football. Dak Prescott has led his team to the playoffs in multiple instances, and Dak Prescott at times has looked like a top 10 quarterback. Well, he could be the next Tom Brady. No. We need to stop using that analogy just for any late-round quarterback. Mike White is a good story. Mike White is a better option for New York right now than the likes of Zach Wilson. Mike White may end up being something, but one game against the 20th-ranked defense with 4 missing starters and number one in their offense not playing is not enough for me to say franchise quarterback. All I took away is that Zach Wilson's time in New York is borrowed, and the Chicago Bears are further away than we actually expected. Good story for Mike White. Let me see him do it this weekend. Let me see him do it against a Minnesota Vikings team, when they're going to have Justin Jefferson and Kirk Cousins standing on the sideline for that offense to start clicking. Let me see him do it against a team like Buffalo, who still has a top 10 defense. Let me see him do it against a team like Seattle or Miami. Let me see him do it against them. If he does it against them, I'll at least say there's potential for the F word to be thrown around. Till then, I'm not going to buy into it. I've seen it happen far too many times in the past. Not going to get burned twice in a row. 800-224-2004. It's Cole Thompson, which is saying it right here on the Sports Map Radio Network. Let's go ahead and talk about what we saw last night. This was not a game that I really thought I was going to be interested in. And you want to know why I wasn't going to be interested in it? Because it's not Peyton Manning versus Ben Roethlisberger. Actually, when I was growing up, Pittsburgh versus Indianapolis was one of the more, I wouldn't say under the radar rivalries, but it was certainly one that like we didn't talk about in the same way of New England versus Indianapolis or Green Bay versus Dallas or one of those ones. It just was like kind of a rivalry that we would be enthralled with and we'd actually end up being excited about later on, but we never really talked about it in like the number one positive light. So kind of last night, you figured out why Jeff Saturday is not going to work as a head coach and why you need to have experience. So someone posted on Twitter afterwards, Jeff Saturday, I think it was last season. It was after week 14, one of the games, I think it was like maybe a Cincinnati game. He tweeted out, tomorrow on ESPN NFL Live, clock management issues, making fun of how Zach Taylor, if I'm not mistaken, could not handle the clock with under a minute left. Had timeouts galore, did not go ahead and do that. Well, last night, karma came back to bite him in the ass. So, you have Indianapolis, they're driving, they're trying to go ahead and pull off the upset. Matt Ryan, he slides, third down, and the clock keeps running. The clock keeps going. You have timeouts, you have an opportunity, and what's happening is Matt Ryan's slow to get up, they let him get back to the huddle, they're at the 37-yard line. He just got sacked, I think it was for a loss of 7, if I'm not mistaken. 59 seconds left. It took all the way until down to the 30-second mark before finally, we saw a clock had stopped. And this was the quote afterwards. I thought we had a good play, and I felt that we were going to be able to get it. Obviously, we didn't do a great job blocking on the backside, so it became worse. You need to understand that if you don't have experience in the NFL, and I understand this right now. He's not calling the offensive plays. He's not calling the defensive plays. He's the interim guy. But in moments like that, just being on a sideline as a coach and having the knowledge of, okay, this is when I need to use my timeouts. This is when I know that it's time for me to go ahead and call a shot. This is when I know that I need to give my offense a breather. Little things like that go far when you've actually been coaching on a sideline. You saw that right now, Indianapolis is in over its head. And that doesn't mean that Jeff Saturday is not a good story. It doesn't mean that Jeff Saturday doesn't fit the mold of what Jim Irsay wanted. Maybe this is exactly what Jim Irsay wanted, to put himself in a situation to where he could draft a future franchise quarterback, learn from his mistakes, and rebuild the franchise in his direction. Finally, after going with his veteranship quarterback carousel for the last 4 or 5 years. Maybe that's exactly what Jim Irsay wants in the situation. But you see how in that moment where we all talk about being in the armchair quarterback, sitting at home, watching the game. This is the very first time I ever saw Twitter on a football game this year all agree and almost unanimously tweet at the same time. Call a timeout. Call a timeout. You don't want to go into the locker room or into the press room with two timeouts remaining and then having to listen to reporters go, why'd you not burn a timeout? Why'd you go ahead and end with two? What'd you see on the play that didn't make you want to call a timeout? Little things like that, former coaches or even veteran coaches that, you know, are just returned to the sideline, like a Chuck Pagano in that situation, or they brought back Tony Dungy, would have understood, hey, let me call a timeout. Let me give my offense a chance to breathe. Let's not rush through this play. Let's go ahead and hit the reset button very fast, just so that way we know we're all on the same page. That didn't happen. That didn't happen at all. And eventually it cost them a win. It did. I don't think that Pittsburgh's that good of a team. I know that Indianapolis is not that good of a team. But in moments like that, it shows you why having a guy like Mike Tomlin on your sideline versus a guy like Jeff Saturday is a huge difference maker. Mike Tomlin and 31 other NFL coaches make sure that that timeout's called before that fourth down conversion. And maybe you get the play. And maybe, just maybe, you win. When we come back, let's talk about Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love. There still is a shot for Green Bay to make the postseason. Is there a shot for Aaron Rodgers to play again in 2022? We'll talk about that right here on Just Saying It, part of the Sports Map Radio Network.
This is Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Cole Thompson.
We are approaching heavy weather season, and it got me thinking. Driving should be an enjoyable experience, even when it's raining. But you know what the worst situation is? When you're having a good time, listening to your favorite tunes, maybe your favorite podcast, potentially even Just Saying It, and right before I go into the middle of my big rant, right before the climax of the song, right before you find out who the killer is in those murder mystery podcasts, all you hear outside is... and it's just squeaky windshield wipers. Ouch. How embarrassing, but also extremely dangerous. Not only should driving be an enjoyable experience, but don't allow squeaky wipers to ruin those great moments. Hear clearly, drive safely by buying Michelin wipers. Michelin is reminding drivers how important it is to regularly check their wipers on the road. In fact, earlier this year, they made it an international holiday, the Check Your Wipers Day that happened on November 16th. So don't forget to check your wipers. It's quick, it's easy, they're simple to install. You can go ahead and pick up a pair at your local Walmart. You can go ahead and shop on Amazon.com, but whatever you do, make sure you hear clearly, drive safely with Michelin wipers. Love to hate on Aaron Rodgers is what most people probably are doing this morning. I'm not going to do that. Instead, I'm going to take the high road and just say it like it is. Aaron Rodgers at this point probably should not play for the remainder of the season. 800-224-2004. Now, this is not to say that Aaron Rodgers should not play because of he's been the problem. This is not to say that Aaron Rodgers should not play because of he's a guy that certainly is hampering the production of Green Bay, who currently sits at 4-8. There are so many flaws and facets to this team. Defensively, they're a mess right now. They're very limited when it comes to certain positions. Outside of really Christian Watson, who's come on strong as of late, they haven't really found that rapport with any other receiver. Not having Romeo Dobbs right now certainly does hurt as well. But you look at this Green Bay Packers team. It's not about Aaron Rodgers anymore. Here's the reality of this. If Green Bay loses next week to Chicago, which could happen, very well could happen the way that this team is built. Not only that, if they get Justin Fields back out there, very much can happen. If they lose and Minnesota wins, Minnesota automatically clinches the NFC North. No, no, no. Not a playoff spot. That's a big difference. The NFC North, the division, with 5 weeks left in football. What are you going to win? What are you going to win at this point? For Green Bay, at this point, basically to guarantee its spot somewhere in the playoffs, they need to win out. That's wins against the Bears, the Rams, the Dolphins, the Vikings, the Lions. Those are their next five games. Can they do it? I don't think so. I certainly do not think, as of right now, the way that this offense is clicking, they can beat up on Minnesota. I don't think that they can beat up on the Dolphins, and I sure as hell am not going to bet against the Detroit Lions. I've already seen the Lions beat this team once. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, well, guess what? I probably just hate the Lions. Instead, I think it's time just to see what you have with Jordan Love. Because there's no downside with playing Jordan Love at this point. There really isn't. I'm not going to say, from what I saw in that small sample size on Sunday Night Football against the Philadelphia Eagles. By the way, Philadelphia, just such a good dynamic rushing attack. Just do what you do, and guess what? Congratulations, you're going to win the division. I think at this point, you at least need to see what you have. By year three, Aaron Rodgers was taking over reps for Brett Favre. You allowed him to sit for about a year and a half, really about 2 years, and then you said, okay, let's take off the training wheels, let's go ahead and throw him into the fire. You had a franchise quarterback in the wings. That's what you had. Jordan Love, coming out of Utah State, was raw, but the skills were there. He had a good deep ball. He had great velocity. The one thing that I remember watching his tape was he was so quick to read and react. He went through his progression like clockwork. It was literally first read, second read, third read, first read, back, got it. And it just moved. It was very clean, but it was very clean for a Mountain West player. Not an SEC player, not a Big Ten player, not an ACC player, where you're going up against NFL talent at cornerback, at safety, at linebacker, pass rushers. Usually when you play in the Mountain West, there's one or two players that you'll go up against at most in a game. Not like you will in the ACC, not like you will in the SEC. But say Jordan Love ends up playing really well. Well, congratulations. That's exactly what you wanted if you were Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur. You saw the potential of a future franchise quarterback that's living up to the standard. Say he doesn't play well. Okay, well now you move up inch your closer and closer and closer to a top 10 draft pick, then a top 7 draft pick, then a top 5 draft pick, and then you have options. You want to go ahead and add in a receiver? Quentin Johnson's going to be available. Jackson Smith-Njigba is going to be available. Kayshon Boutte is going to be available. Jordan Addison, who honestly may be the best route runner in the class and would pair extremely well with Christian Watson and Romeo Dobbs, would be available for Aaron Rodgers next season. Or you start winning football games, maybe you're going to have to trade up to go get another number one receiver or a number two receiver or get an offensive lineman or get more defensive help. But you would have your quarterback of the future. You'd be able to have a conversation with Aaron Rodgers, who very well every year is going to mull over retirement, and you can move on with your franchise. But Aaron Rodgers right now is playing with a bum thumb. He's playing with a bad oblique injury. At one point, he said he could barely breathe on the sidelines because of the rib injury that he suffered during the middle of the game. The last thing you want to do is have your quarterback that you're paying $150 million guaranteed and almost $50 million a year costing you not games but drives because if he can barely stand up. Because the offensive line is playing so poorly, he's just getting hit left and right. When you have a guy like Jordan Love, who's 24 years old, is supposed to at least show you upside, and is supposed to at least give you an opportunity to have this conversation long term, have that moment. This is the perfect time for this to occur. You're not going to go to the playoffs, that's for sure, and you have to see what you have with a young 25-year-old quarterback that you used a first-round pick on. I call that a massive win for Green Bay.
You're You're listening to Just Saying It on the SportsMap Radio Network. Here's Cole Thompson.
He sits on his throne, toying with my mind, my emotions, and more so my sanity. If you know the music, you know what time it is. It is Trivia Tuesday, like we always do right here on Just Saying It, part of the SportsMap Radio Network. Michael Hernandez, the quizmaster himself, waiting to ruin my morning, as he loves to do basically every morning, but Tuesdays are very special for him. 10 questions, 10 answers. Let's see if I can beat the odds. Last week, Michael, 5 out of 10 or 6 out of 10?
5 out of 10.
I'll take it, and it could be a lot worse. So, 10 questions on the docket, NFL style. Let's get started.
Question number 1. What team has won the most championships before the Super Bowl era, beginning in 1966?
Before the Super Bowl era is what you said.
Yes.
Okay. It's 3 teams on the top of my head. It's Arizona, but Arizona was with St. Louis at the time. They were the St. Louis Cardinals. I remember that. My dad continuously brings that up in conversation. Hey, did you know Arizona before Arizona was St. Louis? They're one team. It's Chicago, because Chicago was really good at football. Like, everyone wants to talk about how the Bears are a dumpster fire. No, just in modern era, they haven't been great. They've had a few good years. And it's Green Bay. And I think it's Green Bay. I'm like 90% positive Green Bay actually has the most championships if you include their time in like the NFL before it merged in 1966 with the Super Bowl era. I think it's Green Bay. Oh, I wasn't even sure about that, but all right, cool. I was going to wait for you to say final answer. See if you let me fall on my face like I always do. Thank you, Michael.
They won nine championships over 36 years. They won their first in 1929 and their 13th in 2010.
So, okay. So they've won 13 total championships as of right now.
Yes.
I think that still is the most of the NFL. Like, if we include pre-Super Bowl era. Like, yeah, right now, New England has the most. But I think if you include all of that, yeah, I think it is actually Green Bay. So, cool.
Question number 2. The 1966 season saw the first NFL team score 70 points in a regular season game. Which team was it?
Which team was it?
Yes.
Okay. 1960 what?
6.
Okay. AFC or NFC?
It is NFC.
Okay. I think I know this one because of I think the only reason I know this one is because of I grew up in a household. The Giants was the team that they played, and so it's either the Cowboys or it's Washington. I think Washington holds the record for the most points ever scored in a single game, not in a single season. I think it's Washington. Final answer. You, Michael, are about ready to go down. I am taking over. I have become the king. I am now, without question, the leader supreme. 2-0. I'm heating up.
Question number 3.
All right, let's go. I'm heating up, baby.
Who was the first team to score more than 560 points in a single season?
This one's easy. It was the team that had the most total of... No, it's not. Son of a bitch. I thought I had it. Do I just go with it? Do I go with the greatest show on turf? Do I go with Mike March's offense? The first team to score 550 points in a season, right? That the question?
560.
In a season?
Yeah.
I don't feel comfortable with it. I don't know if it's this other one. I'm going to go with the greatest show on turf. So the 1999... St. Louis Rams. Final answer. Okay. Was it St. Louis during any of the Mike Martz era?
No.
Okay. I'm going to go one more guess real fast. You can go ahead and just tell me if I'm right. Was it the undefeated Patriots?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I don't feel as bad about that because what I really thought was that because of the innovative offense that was coming into the NFL at the time, I was probably on the right path. But... yeah, that feels more right.
And it wasn't even the Rams close. They beat the Vikings record of 556.
Real? Oh, so the Rams weren't even on the list.
No, they topped the Vikings record and from 98.
Wow. Then why call it the greatest show on turf? Why? You're probably just the greatest show of the Midwest for that season, whoop-de-doo. Not the greatest show on turf. How dare you, Mike Martz? Still a great title. It's like, it honestly is a great title.
Question number four. Who was the first head coach to win three NFL Coach of the Year awards?
Belichick, I know, is up there. No, it's not Pittsburgh. It's not New York. It's not Parcells. No, it's not Lombardi because they gave the award after he was like kind of halfway done. Is it Don Shula?
Final answer?
Yeah, I think so. Like, okay, because Don Shula coached for like 30-plus years with Miami. He's the only coach to have an undefeated season, so I know that he got it that year. And I think that he got it the year after, so that's two back-to-back. Yeah, Don Shula, final answer. All right, cool. I'll take that one. Boom. I'm feeling myself. I can get one wrong and still get an A. 90's an A.
He has four of them.
Oh, he has four. Okay. Does anyone... Let me... Okay, I'm going to look this up real fast. Does Bill Belichick have three? Like, because I'm pretty sure that, like, there's only, like, a handful of coaches that have more than one. And I think Belichick's at least one with two.
Shula won in 64, 67, 68 with the Baltimore Colts and his fourth in the perfect season.
So he did... Oh, wow. He only won one with Miami.
72.
Wow, I didn't know that. I thought for sure
and
he won two.
Halas won two Coach of the Year awards, and Landry took one with Bud Grant.
Wait, Tom Landry?
I'm guessing Landry, yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, Belichick has three as well, so he wasn't the first. And the question was the first to get it, right?
Who was the first?
Yeah, okay. That makes sense. I'm still blown away that he had three with Baltimore. Like, he had the record before he went to Miami. That's more of a shock to me than anything.
And he won two back-to-back.
Wow.
Question number five. Who was the third man born in the state of Massachusetts to be elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
Who was the third man?
Yes.
This is going to be a trick question. I guarantee you this is going to be a trick question. It's going to be someone that I know, and like I'm never going to be able to get it. Like, I'm going to overthink it. Was he a player?
Ooh. I'm not sure.
You gave me a hint. You gave me a hint. It was either an owner or it was a coach. I don't think Don Shula was from there. And I know George Halas wasn't from there.
I don't even know if he was a player or not, so.
I have no idea. I mean, this is why I say every single morning, you're toying my emotions. I don't know. I'm just going to throw one out there. I'll go George Halas just because of it. I don't even think George Halas is from the area, so, but whatever. I have no clue. Yeah, see, exactly. Who was it?
Al Davis.
Okay, so I don't feel bad that I didn't get that one right, because I had no idea that he was from the East Coast. I really didn't.
So, Healy was in 64, Milner 68, Davis 92, and then Long in 2000.
So Long I know is Howie Long. I know that one. Okay, so I almost thought of him, but I thought that was way too, like, I thought that by Massachusetts, him being the third inducted player in 2000, like, that feels wrong. Like, with how many players come from Massachusetts. I honestly did not know. I'm actually more so shocked that Al Davis came from Massachusetts than anything else. I'm sitting here, I'm like, he's a California guy. Like, he's 100% no, bro, he's from Massachusetts. Like, no. All right, cool, whatever. Now I'm hearing it. Now I'm hearing his voice come back up, and I'm like, ah, son of a gun, he is from Massachusetts. He is an East Coast guy. Never would have gotten it, though. Never would have gotten it.
Question number six. Earl Curley Lambeau was the first head coach of the Green Bay Packers. Who was the second?
So Lambeau was one. When did Lambeau coach? Like, when was Lambeau's last year coaching? Is my main question.
Lambeau was...
Because I have a name, and I don't want to say it's him immediately, because I don't know if it is for sure. But I have a name.
What's the name?
That's what I want to figure out. When was Lambeau's last year?
That might be a hint.
I'm scared. I'm just going to go with it. Vince Lombardi. I'm not confident in it, but I know Lombardi was after Lambeau. I know he was after Lambeau. So that's the only thing that's coming to mind. And I know that he was like very early. He's one of the first three or four coaches for Green Bay. So I'm going to go Vince Lombardi and just hope for the best. Nope. All right. Who was it?
It was Gene Ronzani.
Gene Ronzani. Congratulations. No idea who you are, bro.
He coached the Packers from 50 to 53, had a record of 14, 31, and 1.
Well, did he now? Did he, Michael?
He replaced Lambeau, who coached from 21 to 49.
See? Exactly.
And had a record of 212, 106, and 21.
Oh, look at that. I was so close.
Imagine going from Lambeau, 200 wins, to 14 and 31.
Well, then imagine afterwards going to Vince Lombardi. So that's like two of the coaches that are most synonymous with post-modern American football. Both coached in that stadium, and you were the loser in between.
Question number 7. Who was a runner-up for the 2004 rushing title?
Who was the runner-up?
Yes.
2004?
2004.
Okay. This wasn't... Oh, I do know this one. He's an Alabama alum. It's Sean Alexander. I think Curtis Martin with the Jets had the record that year. But Sean Alexander had 2 years where he either came really close to winning the rushing title, and then he won the rushing title. Yeah, see? Boom. All right, cool. He lost by 1 yard? That sucks. That absolutely sucks.
That sucks.
Can you imagine? Hey, you want to go ahead and win some more hardware? Well, tough luck, bro. Get on out of here. Hey, 1 yard? Hey, you ain't first, you're last. Ricky Bobby. That movie didn't come out yet. Well, you'll learn about it.
Question number 8. Deion Sanders came out of retirement in 2004 to play for the Baltimore Ravens. Which team did he play for when he retired before the Ravens?
Oh, that's easy. It was Washington. And you want to know how I know that? Because he did it out of spite. He left Dallas to go, I think it was to Washington right afterwards. And I know he went to Washington because he wanted to go ahead and play against Jerry Jones at the very end of his career. Like, so he went to Washington out of spite. This is why I love Deion Sanders.
He's like a Brett Favre type of move.
This is why I love Deion Sanders. Everything that he does is just for fun. Like, you've heard the draft story about him. Like, he's like, hey, the Giants, we want to draft you at pick number 7. I ain't going to be there. So I'm not even going to stay in this meeting. Have a nice day. That still is my favorite draft story of all time.
Question number 9. During the 2002 season, this coach elected to kick the ball off in overtime on the road after squandering a lead. This team never got the ball back and ended the season with an 0-8 road record. Which coach is this?
This one's the easiest one that you've ever told me. This one. No. Wait, 2002?
Yes.
Oh, it's Marty Morningwig. Yeah, it's Marty Morningwig, and it was with the Detroit Lions. How bad I've had to say the Detroit Lions. Jim Schwartz, Matt Patricia, Marty Morningwig. That's all I have to say. How's the record been for the Detroit in the last 25 years? Those are the three coaches. Ah, crap. What did they end up doing? Like they went 0-8 on the road?
Yes.
I think that they only won like 2 games that year.
Typical Lions.
Yeah, basically.
And question number 10. What kicker threw an interception in Super Bowl 7?
What am I at right now?
6.
I'm at 6? So I'd have to retake the class if I don't get this question right.
Yeah, pretty much. It's failing.
Well, guys, I hate to be the bearer of bad news. We're going to have to come back here next week. I have no idea. I don't even know who... I'm trying to even think of who played in Super Bowl 7. Wait a minute. 66. That's the 72 Dolphins. No idea. No idea who it is.
It was Garo Yampermian.
Oh, okay, so you can't even say the name, and you want me to know.
I don't know how to pronounce his last name.
But you want me to know it. Like,
he was the kicker of the decade for the 70s.
But that was the undefeated season, though, right?
It is.
There you go. All right. Well, you know what? I'm going to give myself a 6.5 because I know it was the undefeated season.
6 out of 10.
6.5. Boom. Trivia Tuesday. Right here on Just Saying It.
This is Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Cole Thompson.
Congratulations are in order. Welcome to the world. Yet another future superstar quarterback. If you haven't heard the wonderful news, Patrick Mahomes became a father for the second time as him and his wife welcomed in Patrick Bronze LaVon Mahomes III, who was born yesterday at 7 pounds, 8 ounces to loving parents, according to Brittany Mahomes' social media page. Here's the only thing I will say. I get it's a family name, but at some point, if you're going to nickname your son Bronze, are you basically setting himself up for every single time he goes into like a classroom and he meets up with the other kids? Kids are going to make fun of him for going, why didn't your dad name you Gold? Or why didn't your dad name you Silver, for that matter? Why Bronze? Does he really want you to be in third place? You ever see the meme? Michael, you've seen this for sure on TikTok. The thing of, I'm not him, because I'll never be him. There's only one him. It's like that. It's like that entire meme of just like, oh, yeah, my dad is the GOAT. He's the future, like, greatest of all time. Well, aren't you next in line? No, I'm third place in my family. You know, that's why I'm Patrick Mahomes III. Bronze. Third place. Forever and always.